Ma pratyaksham mam sadrisham krishishtaha. Ma pratyaksham mam sadrisham krishishtaha. Satvam gorad ugrasen atmajanas. Trahi trastan britya vitrasahasi. Rupam jidam podusham dhyana dishnyam. Ma pratyaksham mam sadrisham krishishtaha. Please chant. Satvam goradu grasen atmajannas. Jahi trastan britya vitrasahasi. Rupam jidam purusham dhyana dishnyam. Ma pratyaksham mam sadrisham krishishtaha. Satvam gorad ugrasen atmajanas. Trahi trastan britya vitrasahasi. Rupam chidam porusham dhyana dishnyam. Ma pratyaksham mam sadrisham krishishtaha. Satvam gorad ugrasen atmajanas. Trahi trastan britya vitrasahasi. Rupam chedam porusham dhyana dishnyam. Ma pratyaksham mam sadrisham krishishtaha. Satvam gorad ugrasen atmajanas. Trahi trastan britya vitrasahasi. Rupam chedam porusham dhyana dishnyam. Ma pratyaksham mam sadrisham krishishtaha. Anybody else? Word for word synonyms, please repeat. Saha, your lordship. Tvam, you. Gorat, terribly fierce. Ugrasena atmajat, from the son of Ugrasena. Na, us. Trahi, kindly protect. Trastan, who are very much afraid of him. Britya vitrasaha asi. You are naturally the destroyer of the fear of your servants. Rupam, in your Vishnu form. Cha, also. Idam, this. Purusham, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dhyanadishnyam, who is appreciated by meditation. Ma, not. Pratyaksham, directly visible. Mamsadrisham, to those who see with their material eyes. Krishishtaha, please be. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. So this is Devaki continuing her prayers. My Lord, because you dispel all the fear of your devotees, I request you to save us and give us protection from the terrible fear of Kamsa. Your form as Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is appreciated by yogis in meditation. Please make this form invisible to those who see with material eyes. Purport. The word dhyana dishnyam is significant in this verse because the form of Lord Vishnu is meditated upon by yogis. Dhyana vastita tadgatena manasa pashyantiyam yoginaha. Devaki requested the Lord, who had appeared as Vishnu, to conceal that form, for she wanted to see the Lord as an ordinary child, like a child appreciated by persons who have material eyes. Devaki wanted to see whether the Supreme Personality of Godhead had factually appeared, or she was dreaming the Vishnu form. If Kamsa were to come, she thought, upon seeing the Vishnu form, he would immediately kill the child. But if he saw a human child, he might reconsider. Devaki was afraid of Ugrasena Atmaja. That is, she was afraid not of Ugrasena and his men, but of the son of Ugrasena. Thus, she requested the Lord to dissipate that fear, since he is always ready to give protection, abhayam, to his devotees. My Lord, she prayed, I request you to save me from the cruel hands of the son of Ugrasena, Kamsa. I am praying to your lordship to please rescue me from this fearful condition, because you're always ready to give protection to your servitors. The Lord has confirmed this statement in the Bhagavad Gita by assuring Arjuna, you may declare to the world, my devotee shall never be vanquished. While thus praying to the Lord for rescue, Mother Devaki expressed her motherly affection. I understand that this transcendental form is generally perceived in meditation by the great sages, but I am still afraid, because as soon as Kamsa understands that you have appeared, he might harm you. So I request that for the time being, you become invisible to our material eyes. In other words, she requested the Lord to assume the form of an ordinary child. My only cause of fear from my brother Kamsa is due to your appearance. My Lord Madhusudana, Kamsa may know that you are already born. Therefore, I request you to conceal this four-armed form of your lordship, which holds the four symbols of Vishnu, namely the conch shell, the disc, the club, and the lotus flower. My dear Lord, at the end of the annihilation of the cosmic manifestation, you put the whole universe within your abdomen. Still, by your unalloyed mercy, you have appeared in my womb. I am surprised that you imitate the activities of ordinary human beings just to please your devotee. Devaki was so afraid of Kamsa that she could not believe that Kamsa would be unable to kill Lord Vishnu, who was personally present. Out of motherly affection, therefore, she requested the Supreme Personality of Godhead to disappear. Although because of the Lord's disappearance, Kamsa would harass her more and more, thinking that the child born of her was hidden somewhere. She did not want the transcendental child to be harassed and killed. Therefore, she requested Lord Vishnu to disappear. Later, when harassed, she would think of him within her mind. End of purport. We'll just read through text 29. Janmate mayaso papo mavidyan madhusudana samudvije bhavadeto kamsad aham adhiradi. Oh, Madhusudana, because of your appearance, I am becoming more and more anxious in fear of Kamsa. Therefore, please arrange that this sinful Kamsa to be unable to understand that you have taken birth from my womb. Please arrange for that sinful Kamsa to be unable to understand that you have taken birth from my womb. Purport. Devaki addressed the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Madhusudana. She was aware that the Lord had killed many demons like Madhu, who were hundreds and thousands of times more powerful than Kamsa. Yet because of affection for the transcendental child, she believed that Kamsa could kill him. Instead of thinking of the unlimited power of the Lord, she thought of the Lord with affection. And therefore she requested the transcendental child to disappear. End of purport. So a little continuation of the discussion yesterday. We see in Devaki, and Vasudeva for that matter, that being such pure devotees of the Lord, they certainly understand the Lord's position properly. They have perfect sambandha jnana. They are not like people of this world who don't know Krishna's glories. In chapter 10 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that by knowing my powers and opulences, one then engages in my unalloyed devotional service. So we generally find ourselves a little hesitant, reluctant, lackadaisical, what have you, in our own devotional service or persuading others to engage in devotional service. And one of the root causes is we don't actually properly understand Krishna's position, which means, by definition, that we don't understand our position in relation to him. So Krishna is saying there in the Bhagavad Gita that if one actually understood my powers and opulences, they would like totally engage in my devotional service. What need would there be for hesitation? So Devaki is not in that position. She's not having that problem of ignorance, of not understanding the Lord's position. She fully understands that this is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She expresses her knowledge by acknowledging that Krishna, Vishnu, you are so amazing that at the time of the dissolution of the entire material cosmos, it all just goes into your navel. It's all contained within your abdomen. Yet, I am kind of bewildered and amazed that, and surprised that despite that, you yourself have just taken birth from my womb. She acknowledges that despite your being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, despite my knowing your position, your taking birth from my womb has caused me to have maternal affection. So I can't help but look at you as my child. And as any mother who has a child, they're quite concerned about the child's well-being. In fact, that kind of consumes their whole consciousness. The mother's consciousness doesn't think of anything except the child's well-being. So Devaki is praying, "Oh my Lord, you're the giver of protection, of shelter. Please protect me. Please give me your shelter." Prabhupada explains in the purport that she's actually asking for protection for Krishna. She's actually saying, "I'm afraid of Kamsa," but not because, oh, Kamsa's going to attack me. She's afraid of Kamsa because Kamsa's going to attack Krishna, her baby. So although she's asking for protection for herself, she's actually asking for protection for him. So she's saying, "Oh, Krishna, protect yourself," basically, is what she's saying. Can we think of another devotee in the Bhagavatam that prayed for Krishna's protection, but wasn't actually concerned about her own protection, but was concerned? Uttara. So Uttara was also crying and begging Krishna for protection when she saw the final Brahmastra weapon of Ashvatthama coming to kill her embryo, who is none other than Parikshit Maharaj. And with motherly affection, she also said, actually, she said, "I don't care if that weapon burns me. That's quite all right, but don't let it burn my embryo. Just at least protect my embryo." Now you might say, well, that's kind of like mundane, you know. She didn't have the Supreme Lord in her womb, but she had a great devotee of the Supreme Lord in her womb. So it's the same quality of consciousness, I mean. To be fearful for the Lord's pure devotee or to be fearful for the Lord himself. We'll see a little bit later in the 10th canto that Mother Yashoda twice gets a little glimpse as to Krishna's powers. One time she's nursing Krishna, and when he's finished drinking her milk, he's a little tired, so he yawns. So when he opens his mouth in the form of a yawn, she sees the whole cosmos in his mouth. And she's wondering, am I delusional? Is this a hallucination? Am I dreaming? And then she finally concludes, it must be due to the powers of my child. Another time, Krishna and his friends were out playing. They complained to Mother Yashoda when it's time for lunch. They're complaining, well, he probably doesn't have an appetite because he's been eating dirt, you know. And she's, what? What do you mean you've been eating dirt? My child doesn't eat dirt. No, he's been eating dirt. No, I have not been eating dirt. So Mother Yashoda kind of calls Krishna's bluff and says, well, if you haven't been eating dirt, why don't you just open your mouth and we'll prove it to everybody. So when he opens his mouth, again, she sees the whole cosmos within his mouth. And again, is thinking, maybe I'm weak and tired from not eating. Maybe I'm hallucinating. And she again concludes, oh, this must be some power from my child. But what she does not conclude is that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She actually, when she saw the cosmos in Krishna's mouth after he yawned, after drinking her milk, she thought, well, maybe this is a bad omen because, you know, so many demons have been coming to kill Krishna. She thought maybe this was a bad sign, so she prayed to Lord Vishnu for the child's protection. She didn't pray to Krishna, who was there as her child. So that's the difference between Devaki and Yashoda. Devaki actually understood that the child who appeared before her was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So she actually prayed to the child for protection. But when Yashoda saw the cosmos within Krishna's mouth twice, she didn't say, oh, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and start offering prayers of reverence to Krishna, baby Krishna. Rather, she became bewildered and thought, maybe this is some power, like a yogic power or something of my child. Maybe it's a bad omen. But she prayed to Vishnu that if there's any danger, please dispel that. And then, boom, she's right back into, anyway, Krishna, wash your mouth and it's time for dinner. So we, as aspiring devotees, we are very much required to work on our understanding of Krishna Tattva, Krishna's position, because by not understanding the Lord's position properly, we can't execute our devotional service with any enthusiasm. Prabhupada, in the Nectar of Instruction, text number 3, where Rupa Goswami says that one of the 6 items that's necessary for executing devotional service successfully is utsahan, or enthusiasm. And Prabhupada explains in his purport that utsahan, enthusiasm, means to execute devotional service with intelligence, to act with intelligence. So our intelligence isn't going to work properly and cause us to act properly in devotional service if our intelligence isn't regularly being fed the Sambandha Jnana. What is Krishna's greatness? And that is exactly why in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spends, the whole chapter 10 describing his opulences to Arjuna. Because, like us, Arjuna was on the mental platform. One moment, yes, I will, I gotta stand up and fight. And the next moment, no, I can't stand up and fight. And the next moment, okay, maybe I should do it. Yes, it's my duty. Then the next moment, yeah, but here's why I shouldn't. So many doubts were plaguing Arjuna that every time he tried to muster up some enthusiasm, it would immediately get extinguished. So Krishna spent quite a bit of time in Bhagavad Gita describing his own opulences and powers and position, not because he's on an ego trip bragging about himself, but because this is necessary in order for us to keep determination in devotional service. So Devaki and Yashoda and Nanda and Vasudev, they may have this Sambandha Jnana, but what overrides their Sambandha Jnana or eclipses their Sambandha Jnana is a knowledge of Rasa Tattva. They're actually absorbed in Krishna Prema. So sometimes the rasa seems to cancel out their Sambandha Jnana, even though Devaki knows perfectly well that Vishnu has easily killed big demons like Madhu. Therefore she calls him Madhusudana. Still, she cannot believe that Kamsa won't kill her child. So this is due to motherly affection. So a little earlier in this chapter, Prabhupada was glorifying Devaki's motherly affection, and he said that just as Devaki was so afraid for the well-being of her child, he said, so we also are afraid and wonder, we are amazed to consider whether our movement, this Krishna consciousness movement, will be extinguished by the asuras. So Prabhupada also had a parental mood towards his mission and admitted right there in the purport a few verses ago that we also, with amazement, wonder whether this movement will go on unabated by the onslaught of the asuras. Therefore, Prabhupada instituted a practice in ISKCON. What was that practice? Chanting of the Nisringa prayers. So when we're chanting the Nisringa prayers, it's for two things: to protect our heart from the asuric doubts and anartas that plague it, and also to protect the Krishna consciousness movement, which we're trying to offer some service in its propagation in the world. So in chapter 2 of this canto, Prabhupada mentions that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he sees Kamsa as symbolizing material fear. Kamsa killed the first six sons of Devaki. Vishwanath Chakravarti says that Kamsa represents material fear, fear of material existence. And those six sons of Devaki, which Kamsa very dutifully killed, represent the six, our six enemies in material existence: Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Madha, and Matsarya, lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. And he explains there, maybe it's a different purport, Prabhupada explains that a pure devotee, and he says a pure devotee, what to speak of us aspiring devotees, he says a pure devotee should always fear material existence. Because, he points out, that Devaki was being purified of any last residual remnants of lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. Unless and until a devotee is actually conscious of the fact that these enemies are always lurking in our heart, what to speak of in the external atmosphere, one will not be fearful of material existence. Even though Devaki is the pure devotee, the mother of Krishna, how much higher can you get? She still demonstrated fear of material existence. And Prabhupada said, this fear of material existence is what purified the last remnants of those anartas in the heart. So, fearlessness of material existence is what the devotee is striving for. But until one becomes a siddha, or a perfected devotee, completely situated in their personal relationship with Krishna on the level of bhava or prema, until one reaches that stage of the sadhya, or becoming a siddha, one must be fearful of material existence. So Prabhupada once said, pointing to his disciples, the problem with you boys and girls is that you're not enough afraid of Maya. One devotee tells a story that on a morning walk, Prabhupada asked the devotees, "What's the difference between you and me? What's the difference between you, the disciples, and me, Prabhupada?" And they were thinking, "Well, there's a lot of differences between you and us." So, I mean, well, I don't know, what? Prabhupada didn't answer. They went back, it was time for greeting of the deities. They paid their obeisances to the deities. And one devotee noticed that when Prabhupada was greeting the deities, he was very prayerful. Later that day, when he saw Prabhupada in his room, he entered Prabhupada's room, and he said, "Prabhupada, I want to ask a question. I noticed that when you were greeting the deities this morning, you were very prayerful. I'm curious as to what you pray for when you pray to the deities." And Prabhupada said, "Oh, I was simply praying that I may not fall victim to Maya." And the devotee said, "You can't fall victim to Maya, Prabhupada. But you were praying like that?" And Prabhupada said, "Yes, I can't fall victim to Maya, but now you know why. Now you know why you can fall victim to Maya, but I cannot fall victim to Maya. This is the difference between you and me, because I pray to Krishna when I see him in the morning, that please protect me from being victimized by Maya." So therefore, he said at another occasion, "The problem with you boys and girls is that you're not afraid enough of Maya." So it's the disciple's responsibility. It is a disciple's responsibility to always be fearful of material existence. If we're not fearful of material existence, that means we're not going to be making the efforts, taking the steps necessary to get out of material existence. We'll be lackadaisical. We'll have our comfortable spot in the ashram. We get our 3 meals a day. Or we might have our own apartment because we have our own job and private apartment outside, whatever. But we become comfortable, when we become comfortable in material life, so-called comfortable, where's the need to be fearful? We have a nice lock on our door and a surveillance camera and decent income and a nice spouse, and what's to be fearful about? So therefore, that's why Prabhupada said, "You're not enough afraid of Maya." Devotees enter the grihastha ashram. If devotees enter the grihastha ashram in the mood of, relief from brahmachari ashram, comfort, protection, security, enjoyment, whatever, that's not a good sign. That's not actually the motive or the purpose for entering grihastha ashram. One doesn't fall into grihastha ashram. Oh, one couldn't maintain the austere standards of brahmachari ashram, so they fell into grihastha ashram. No, a grihastha has as a suffix to their name, adhikari, so-and-so das or dasi, you know, so-and-so das adhikari means qualification. One has to be qualified for grihastha life. Why? Because in grihastha life, one's going to be dealing with so much material energy. One has to be fearful in that position. I don't fear the snake that's over there, the poisonous snake that's way over there, because I'm not anywhere near that poisonous snake. It can't affect me. But if I'm living 3 inches away from the poisonous snake, I have to be very fearful. So like that, we live with the objects of the senses or the potential objects of the senses. One has to be very fearful. So in the third canto, Devahuti showed the perfect example of a householder. She glorified her husband. She appreciated her husband, Kapiladev. Her son, Kapiladev. She glorified the fact that her husband, Kashyapa Muni, through his mystic power, was able to give her a very comfortable home life. You've given me such a comfortable home life, I can't even imagine what else to ask from you materially. You did like a perfect job. But there's one thing that's missing, my dear husband, Kashyapa Muni, and that is, despite all this perfect material arrangement, I still have fear of material existence. I don't have fearfulness like you have. So Devahuti wanted fearlessness. So Kashyapa Muni was so kind, he actually blessed Devahuti with a perfect son, Kapiladev. Through that perfect son, Kashyapa Muni was going to deliver his wife, Devahuti, because the son is considered a representative of the father. So although Kashyapa Muni left householder life, he didn't abandon Devahuti. He chose to give her his last blessing of fearlessness by giving her a son who could bestow fearlessness upon her. So by hearing from her son Kapiladev, Devahuti said, I'm very much fearful of material existence. And he gave her the transcendental knowledge, the sambandha, the abhideya, the prayojana, the basic fundamental knowledge, the knowledge of how to execute devotional service, and knowledge of what is the goal. Kapiladev blessed his mother with such divya gyan so that she could then perfect the end of her life by becoming completely fearless. So Prabhupada explains then that this is the situation of all of us. We may or may not have material comforts, but each and every one of us have to be fearful of material existence. And by taking shelter of a pure devotee who has achieved fearlessness, we have to take shelter of a devotee who has themselves achieved fearlessness. Then we ourselves can also become fearless. So Prabhupada was pointing out that even one becomes an advanced devotee. Devahuti was certainly an advanced devotee. She was not like just some ordinary sadhaka. That even one becomes a very advanced devotee, still, if one hasn't achieved the perfect stage of fearlessness, they must take shelter of a devotee who has. And so he refers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings to Sanatana Goswami in the 22nd chapter of the Majjhalila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which he points out a very important instruction by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a very practical instruction. He says, Krishna Bhakti, Janma Mula, means the root of Krishna Bhakti. The root of Krishna Bhakti appears, hoy Sadhu Sangha, in Sadhu Sangha. For one who has not yet had Krishna Bhakti manifest in their heart, then the principle is sadhu sangha. One must associate with devotees who do have Krishna bhakti already manifested in their heart. Okay, that's a nice instruction. And then he gives a second instruction in the second half of that verse. And then he says, Krishna prema janme, meaning, and even after Krishna prema has awakened in the heart, still, how's that go? Tenho puna mukya anga. That still, that same principle of higher sadhu sangha, sangha of sadhus who are fearless, even after Krishna prema janme, even after Krishna prema has manifested in one's heart, and now one's a very advanced devotee, still, it remains puna mukya anga. It still remains, this principle still remains, that the higher sadhu sangha must be taken shelter of. So this is our only protection. Devaki has the Supreme Lord standing or sitting right in front of her, lying there as a child. She prays to him directly for protection. We also pray to Krishna for protection, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is emphasizing, how do we get that protection? We can pray all day long to Krishna. Is he going to appear as, you know, baby Vasudev Krishna in front of us? No. How is he going to appear? How do we know our prayers for protection are being answered? What will happen? That sadhu sangha will come into our life. What sadhu sangha? Sangha of those sadhus who are established in fearlessness. To get that association is extremely rare. Just to get association of quote-unquote ordinary sadhakas that we take for granted, you know, that association is very rare. But to get the association of a devotee that's fixed on the platform of fearlessness is what's wanted. It's very rare. One should cry for it. And when one gets it, one has to take full advantage of it. And when we become fearless, then we can deliver that fearlessness to others. So when we go out and chant Harinam on the streets, when we go out to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, when we go out to distribute prasadam, to hold some Krishna Katha in either private or public venues, what is the purpose? Why are we doing these things? It's to give the opportunity of fearlessness to others. Prabhupada, in one purport I was reading, Prabhupada said that there's four problems in material life. The food problem, the shelter problem, the fear problem, and the mating problem. Eating, sleeping, mating, and fearing. Mating. And he said, of the four, the fear problem causes the greatest disturbance in our life. He said, it's the fear problem that really needs to be conquered. Eating and sleeping and mating will be eliminated when old age comes. You know, go talk to people who are 80 years old, and they'll be like, I can hardly eat. I can hardly sleep. There's no drive for sex life anymore. But the fear problem hasn't disappeared. If anything, it's become more visible, more pronounced. So Prabhupada said it's this fear, problem of fear, that is the greatest disturbance in material life. So this is the actual purpose of preaching. The actual purpose of preaching is to deliver to people this path of attaining fearlessness. So So maybe we'll stop there, see if there's any. Okay, Keshava Kishore.
Thank you, Mataji. When we're fearful, the first thing we do, the same way that Mother Devaki did, was to invoke the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be protected. And she understands that in her womb is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but she doesn't want him to be killed by Kamsa. But we all mortals understand that God has no beginning and no end. So that is a little confusing for me. Would you please elaborate on that?
You mean confusing about how she could be having
fear? Yeah, why she's fearful if she knows that she's God,
as we
the Supreme Personality of Godhead in her womb. That Vishnu appeared with the four attributes that protect us as devotees and their his children. Yeah.
So it's not due to ignorance. Like,
oh, no, no.
Yeah, yeah. So we have all these fears because of ignorance. Prabhupada explains more than once that Devaki's fear, despite her having perfect transcendental knowledge, perfect understanding of her child's real position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the motherly affection, her rasa, eclipsed her Aishvarya mood of understanding the Lord. So that's yoga maya. When we're affected by the Aishvarya bhava, ooh, we're really cognizant of Krishna's powers and glories, and you know, Vishnu can't be killed, etc., etc., etc. But Krishna says he's not really won over by that kind of bhakti. That bhakti, which is weakened by the mood of Aishvarya, doesn't actually attract my heart. What does attract my heart is that prema, madhurya rasa found in Vrindavan, where my mother thinks that if she doesn't feed me, I'll die. Where my boyfriends, you know, challenge me to a wrestling match thinking they can beat me. He says that kind of bhakti wins my heart way more than the Aishvarya mood. So this was Devaki. She has the Aishvarya mood, but yoga maya allows her to experience the maternal affection, right? The Vatsalya rasa is superior to any Aishvarya mood. So that's why she's expressing fear for her child, because she's speaking, you know, in one breath she's speaking from the Aishvarya mood, then the very next moment she's speaking from the Vatsalya rasa mood. She's going back and forth, boing, 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 you know. Ooh. You know, so she's like, she looks like a mad woman, the way she's talking. And that's what love does, it makes one mad. They speak contradictory things. Paramakaruna Prabhu.
Thank you. You quoted the verse from Bhagavad Gita that one who knows the opulences and powers, it is 10:17, then he will surely engage in devotional service. When you quoted this verse, the first thing that came in my mind is chapter 13, verse 26. That even if someone doesn't know anything about me, but if he hears from the other person, just by hearing, he started the process of devotional service and he surpasses death. So, let's say, for me personally, understanding chapter 10, it's extremely hard, Bhagavad Gita. So is it okay if we hear from the authorities or senior devotees, okay, here is a Krishna and here is a Guru Maharaj, and he wants us to do some service. And just by getting attracted to the service and serving with uninterrupted, unmotivated attention, then that does, that step allow us to surpass, to come, allow us to surpass, to deliberately understand the vibhutis or powers of Krishna, and then getting attracted to Krishna. Are you understanding the question?
Yeah, I understand. I think I understand your question. So certainly, if one is hearing from a devotee who is in a rasa with Krishna, they're hearing about, you know, Krishna's name and form and qualities and pastimes, and such a guru engages the student in devotional service, meditating on Krishna in devotional service, then one might argue, well, then there's not really much need to go study the vibhutis of the Lord, because we're a little bit more shooting for not the Aishvarya mood, but the Madhurya mood. So that is all well and good, theoretically. However, how many of us are truly on that platform of, you know, the Madhurya mood supersedes any Aishvarya mood? If we look at history, many devotees, when in contact with such a pure devotee and hearing from them daily, they remained really high. But when that pure devotee left their presence, or somehow or other they're out of the association of such devotees that they hear from, then it's very easy to see devotees fall away. It's also easy to see devotees who haven't had a very strong foundation in Sambandha Jnana to maybe develop a little bit of a sentimental or sahajya tendency. So every single page of the 10th canto, where Prabhupada's describing Krishna's sweet childhood pastimes, which are the pinnacle of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Well, the pinnacle is his rasa lila with the gopis, but I mean his whole Boma lila is like the pinnacle of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Despite presenting all that, every single page, Prabhupada doesn't fail to remind us of basic Sambandha Jnana. So right there, when discussing the birth of baby Krishna, he's strongly making the point that a pure devotee should always be fearful of material existence, that we should never become confident that we're above all that. You know, that's for neophytes, right? To study chapter 10 of Bhagavad Gita, or, you know, the Bhagavad Gita in general, that's for neophytes. That's like first grade or something. We have to be very careful that we don't ever consider ourselves beyond that. Prabhupada didn't consider himself beyond that. So we have to be careful we aren't guilty of that. So yes, hearing from a realized devotee, when we hear from a realized devotee, their words will not be divorced from the proper conception. And Prabhupada, in the first canto, I believe it is, says that sometimes people want to just jump to Krishna's lila in the Bhagavatam, and they want to forego any description of like creation and the Purusha avatars and all that. And in a purport there, he says, but actually, hearing the activities of the Purusha avatars in connection with the Srishti Lila, or the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the material world, that this is on the same level as hearing Rasa Lila. So the proof the proof that we're not actually qualified properly to understand and appreciate and meditate on Krishna's personal, intimate leelas with his parishads or devotees in Goloka, is that when it's time to hear about the Purush avatars or Krishna's vibhutis, we're like, oh, is that what class is today? Actually, I'm tired. I'm going to go take a nap. I've got other things to do. We don't show up to class because, oh, it's that section of the Bhagavatam that deals with Krishna's vibhutis and the Purush avatars. And, you know, I've got some Leela books upstairs I can go read. So we have to do both. When you eat a meal, you don't just eat the dessert. You eat the appetizer, the salad, all the stuff with the vitamins and minerals, and then you get to the dessert, you know. So we have to have a well-rounded meal.
Follow-up question?
So, if the person is not aware of Krishna Leela also, but he's only aware of one thing, that this is my service, and I'm pretty sure by doing this service, I'll please my Guru, and ultimately I'll please Krishna. And if we continue the service with one-pointed attention, is that service is enough to make him understand the sweetness of Krishna, or he has to try something more?
Well, we certainly are accustomed to hearing that if one simply becomes absorbed in their devotional service, perfection will be attained. But what does that mean, to be absorbed in one's devotional service? Doesn't mean that one just works hard and that's what they're absorbed in. Look at my schedule, look how many hours of this and that I'm doing, look how fast I'm moving my arms and legs, look how much I'm accomplishing. To be absorbed in devotional service means to be absorbed in the object of my service. So in a purport in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna Prabhupada says that in the lower stages of devotional service, one is attached to the service, doing the service. That's what they're absorbed in. But in higher stages of devotional service, one is attached to the object of service. That's what they're meditating on. We also recently read from Bhaktivikasa Swami's book, Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava, about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, where Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said that some of the members of his math were very hard working. They're just like service all day, all night, like whew, that's what they're absorbed in. And there were other members of the math who were less involved in service, but they were very much into hearing and chanting. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta made the point that they can do service all day for the rest of their life, but if they don't become attracted to and absorbed in hearing and chanting, they're not going to reach perfection. So the proof that we're absorbed in our service is that we become more and more attracted to hearing and chanting. So that doesn't mean we give up our service. Doesn't mean we give up our service, but we don't just become workers. There has to be a balance between proper hearing. And so that's Prabhupada's formula. He set it up, right? If you attend the morning program and if you attend the evening program attentively, then you can work hard all day and you won't be guilty of overworking and you won't be guilty of just doing hearing and chanting and no service. So there has to be a balance. Prabhupada set it up perfectly. We don't have to change the formula. So I think we should end there because we're over time. Thank you for your kind attention. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.